Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
I invite you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. We're going to be talking about the Lord's teaching concerning swearing and oaths. In doing this, we're going to talk about what is swearing. What are oaths? What are some of the things that's taught in the Old Testament concerning oaths? What was the common practice in Christ's day that made him want to include this teaching in the Sermon on the Mount? What did Christ teach in contrast to what was commonly practiced in his day? And then also talk about some problems with this passage. It sounds very straightforward, but then what about judicial oaths when you go before the judge and the judge says, "Do you swear, so help you God?" And contrast that, what is Jesus saying when he says, "Swear not at all"? And how do you deal with this? So I want to discuss some of those things. If you're going to tell someone you're going to do something, then do it. Now, you may not get a lot more out of the lesson, but you just remember that. That's a matter of principle. That's a matter of ethics. That's a matter of integrity. And that's what the Lord is teaching in this passage when he's teaching on swearing. See what it says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33. "You've heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths." What are we talking about? What is this swearing and what are these oaths? I remember growing up, people were all about swear words. And they were talking about swear words in the same way that it's just a synonym for cuss words. And you're not supposed to say those kind of words. In fact, some people in their speech will take just this very profanity and then pull God's name right in the midst of their profanity. And I remember there are people that taught me that you just don't talk like that. You don't use those words. Now there are curse words or cursing or that those kind of profane things to say that I would not even say from this pulpit by way of illustration concerning what should not be said. You wouldn't even want to hear of it in that manner. And yet, I've been among those where it's common speech. I worked a lot in some construction earlier in my career, and I remember some old ditch diggers. I'll tell you what, if they were digging a sewer line, it wouldn't have been near as bad as the speech. It was coming out of that ditch. And they did that till they found out I was a preacher. And they apologized to me and said, "Well, we didn't know you were a preacher," and they didn't want to talk like that around me. And I thought, how foolish that they'll say those things about God before God and act embarrassed that they do it around the preacher. Well, that just shows how silly sometimes we are about things. There's just certain words that ought not be said. But then there's some lesser terms that we let slip in our vocabulary. And we have to say words like that. I tell you, we do not have to say words like that. We can clean our speech up. Now, I know that James says the tongue can no man tame. And it is full of deadly poison. And the same mouth wherewith we'll bless God, we will curse man. And even though he said the tongue can no man tame, he also said in James 3 and verse 10, these things ought not be. You got to remember in Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37, Jesus said, "You're going to be held accountable for every idle word." And a lot of those are just idle words we speak carelessly, throw those things out. Colossians 4 and verse 6, "Let your speech be always seasoned with salt, and to speak things of graciousness." And so it's going to be an effort because we let these things slip in. We may not think they're all that bad, and it gets to be habitual. But we can overcome that and we can clean up our speech. Surely those of us who are spiritually minded and close to God can sit here and think, how does that sound to other people to hear that? And I know being around that, it's easy to pick that up. But just like you may have had to learn not to use those cuss words, well, you can also teach yourself and learn not to use those euphemisms. You'll be a better representation of what God would have us to be in this world if we'll work on that and clean up our speech. But that's not really what Jesus is talking about in this passage. When he's talking about oaths and swearing here, he's talking about something more specific. Let me give you a series of twos, kind of explain oaths. I'm going to give you three series of twos. There's two elements to an oath. One is the statement made, and the other is the calling forth of something sacred is a verification of that statement. So the two elements to an oath. There's two kinds of oaths that I know about. One of them is a testimony to something of truth. That's what the judge is asking you to swear. You'll tell the truth. So it's a statement of truth. Another kind of statement is a promise that is made. So two kinds of statements, wherein you call on something sacred to verify or give veracity to that. And then there's two reasons to do this. One is it binds the conscience. We all just sometimes speak carelessly or flippantly, not giving a lot of thought to what it is we're saying, and may even inadvertently say things that are not so just because we're not being real careful for what we say. I tell you, when you come under an oath, you don't do that. Put yourself under an oath. You're going to examine and speak with care because you want it to be to express yourself clearly and correctly. And so it brings the conscience into play into what you say. It also provides assurance to the one receiving those statements that you're making. So you're doing that to assure them that it is so. It says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6 and verse 16, men swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. And so if we're going to swear by an oath and make a statement, why then, that should end the doubt about it, that the person certainly is being sincere and truthful with all good intentions when they say what they're saying then, when they are under an oath. Now, oaths are often discussed in the Old Testament. You might want to look at some of these passages. I'm going to turn to them quickly, hopefully quickly, and look at some of these. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. Here they're commanded to swear. It says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 20. Very similar. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, Him shalt thou serve, and to Him shalt thou cleave and swear by His name. In the giving of the Ten Commandments, one of the commandments was in the Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And the significance of that is taking His name in an oath. You don't want to do that lightly or flippantly, or not regard that oath. And it goes on to say, the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh His name in vain. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 21 emphasizes that in a little different language. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. And so there's the significance. Numbers chapter 30. And verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. There's some good advice in the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. You be careful when you're talking about holy things and spiritual things. You keep your foot. Don't be stumbling up here now. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, nor let thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a drain cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. pay that which thou hast vowed. Because it is better that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and in many words there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God. Don't be going around making oaths on everything. Every time just spelling it. Look, that's not good talk to do that. We'll talk about maybe where it could be proper to make an oath and in harmony with what the Lord says, but you let your words be few. You be careful when you do that. That's what the telling us there, the wise men in Ecclesiastes. Let's look at one more. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. This may have been the passage Jesus had in mind when he said, "You've heard it said by them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths." It may have been the comments that the teachers of the law in that day were making on this passage, Leviticus 19:12. "And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am Jehovah." And so that's some of the Old Testament teaching on oath. Now, what was going on in Jesus' day? I'll tell you what was going on. There were a lot of hypocrites that were swearing falsely. Now, we used to make, when we were children, we'd say this, "Cross my heart and hope to die, stick a needle in my eye." You ever heard that? Boy, we thought somebody said that. They must be telling the truth. I'll tell you a trick. If you crossed your fingers, it didn't count. Now, we may have thought that was pretty cool as children. God knew we were lying. Crossing our fingers doesn't release us from the fact that we've got to tell the truth. And so don't fool yourselves into thinking that there's some kind of trick you can play to make people think that you're a person that's telling them the truth or you're going to be honest when you're really not. God is not mocked, and He sees through all those tricks. And we grown-ups might think, "Oh, those children doing that." But you know, adults do the same thing. They're just more sophisticated at it. And the hypocrites in Christ's day were doing it. Let's look at what it says in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 16. And Jesus goes into some detail explaining the kind of tricks they would play with telling the truth. Matthew 23:16. "Woe unto you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whoso shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift upon the altar, he's guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether it is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of heaven and by him that sitteth on the throne." None of your tricks, you hypocrites. Don't say, "Well, I swear by the temple." And then go out and do something different. Say, "Well, I didn't swear by the gold of the temple." As though that was your fingers crossed. "Ye fools and blind, ye hypocrites." Don't do that. And so there are these oaths that they would take, and it seems like the greater thing that they would swear by, the more binding their oath, to swear by something little, they weren't really bound. And so Jesus condemns that. And that describes the cultural context of what Jesus is talking about when He's talking about swearing back in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's look at that again. "I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King, neither shall thou swear by thy head." I don't wonder why He said that. Was Jesus injecting a little humor here? "I swear by my head." And that'd just be how silly some of their little oaths would be. He went on to say this, "Thou canst not make one hair white or black." Well, That's not so today, is it? I tell you, if a woman I swear by the color of my hair, that I wouldn't believe her today. Because people do change their hair color. But I wonder if Jesus isn't injecting some humor here to show how utterly ridiculous it is to think that if you can swear by something lesser, then you're not really bound. He goes on to say, let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than this is evil. I tell you, you're always bound to tell the truth. Whether you swear or not, you need to tell the truth. And if you say yes, then mean yes. And if you say no, then mean no. Now you say what you mean, and you mean what you say. And that's that principle of integrity that Jesus is speaking of here, in contrast to the hypocrites. They were crossing their fingers and playing tricks with the truth. Now, let's talk about the difficulty of the passage. He does say very plainly here and very emphatically, swear not at all. That sounds like an absolute prohibition against swearing, doesn't it? Now, that's not all the Bible says about that. But if you want to take that as an absolute prohibition against all swearing, then you've got some difficulties here. Look at the writings of Paul. Paul filled his epistles with oaths. And he's writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Here's what he says. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. And then he stated his truth, calling on God's name over that truth. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 23. I call upon God as a witness for my soul. That's an oath. It says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 20. Before God, I lie not. Okay, so he's uttering an oath. When Jesus was on trial, in Matthew 26, verses 63 and 64, Jesus was not answering a word the high priest. And the high priest placed Jesus under oath. He said, I adjure thee before the living God. And after that, Jesus started talking. And he said the truth too. And so Jesus testified under oath. You say, well, he didn't place himself under oath, but you know he accepted that being placed under oath. I don't think the quibble here changes the difficulty of what we're facing here. And then you got to look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it with an oath. And how do we reconcile this with the idea that Jesus says, swear not at all? And then we find these things where deity itself is involved in it, and even having Paul to say oaths in his writing. Now, that's not an easy question. There are two ways to go on this, and let me tell you this. One of the things we've got to be guided by is our conscience. And a lot of us have scruples. And you need to live in accordance with your scruples. Now be careful not to judge others according to your own scruples. But you need to live in harmony with your conscience. And that's what it says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. Whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. That word faith there has to do with your personal beliefs and convictions. So if you believe this is an absolute prohibition against all swearing, then live like that. Just don't do that. Don't swear at all. And you will be just fine. But it doesn't quite get us off the hook. Because if the judge says to put your hand on the Bible, and say, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, what would you say? Well, I understand the courts will allow you to say, instead of saying I do, they'll allow you to say I affirm, or I promise. Somehow for your scruples to avoid this idea of swearing. And it's probably based on that very passage there in respect for that and the acknowledgement of people's scruples if they allow that. But you're really not changing anything. What's the difference in saying I do and I affirm? That, I affirm means I do. That's just a synonym now in this. And you really hadn't gotten out from under your difficulty. But I'll tell you what, if it's better on your conscience and you want to do that, then you just do that. And you will be fine. But I think there's another way to look at this, that to help us understand this, and it's this principle of when the Bible says something, take everything the Bible says about it and put it all together and then reason correctly about what it says. Don't just take one statement or one passage, but understand that in terms of everything else the Bible says. And again, let's be very careful when we do this. But I think that helps us here. Look in the book of James, chapter 5 and verse 12. James is repeating the Lord's teaching here that is found in the Sermon on the Mount in almost the same words. James 5 and verse 12, he says this, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation." What's that mean? Neither by any other oath. The English language, we use the word other in different ways. In the Greek language, there's two very different words for the word other. One of them means other of the same kind. And the other word means other of a different kind. Now, we'll use the words other both ways and judge by context. But in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul said, "I marvel that your soul soon removed from the grace of God into another gospel, which is not another. For there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." He uses the word other there in two different ways. "I marvel your soul removed from the gospel of Christ to another gospel of a different kind, which is not another gospel of the same kind," is what he's talking about. I marvel you're removed to another kind of gospel. And not the same gospel that I preach to you that can bring about your salvation. You see, another gospel of a different kind can't save. And it's not another gospel of the same kind that can. So when James says, "Neither swear by any other oath," the word "other" he used there is no other oath of the same kind. Now he's talking about those mild oaths. It doesn't mention calling on the Lord here, swearing by the Lord's name, swear by heaven or earth or any other oath of that kind. And so, the teaching there would be, all these lesser oaths that you're making that aren't really binding, don't use those. Don't do that. Now, I believe that's what Christ is talking about then in Matthew when he says, swear not at all. It's swear not at all falsely by these lightly binding oaths. But, if you say yes, you mean yes. And if you say no, you mean no. And so I think that's probably the way to put it all together where it makes sense. There's one promise we need to keep. Of course, we're going to keep our promises to men. What about those promises to God? When we come before the Lord to be baptized into Christ, we're promising God we're going to live for Him. If we make that promise, we need to keep it. If we'll keep an oath unto man, how much greater an oath unto God? And if we fall from that, we need to be restored. And if we haven't made that promise, why would you want to live a life without promising God that you'll spend a life in service to Him?